word to us. Show us who you are and who you are calling us to be for the sake of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Michelle's going to come and read our scripture this morning.
Good morning. God promises deliverance. But the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand he will send them out, and with a strong hand he will drive them out of his land." God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of my people and of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Moses spoke thus to the people of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses because of their broken spirit and harsh slavery. So the Lord said to Moses, "Go in, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the people of Israel go out of his land." But Moses said to the Lord, "Behold, the people of Israel have not listened to me. How then shall Pharaoh listen to me? For I am of the uncircumcised lips." But the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron and gave them a charge about the people of Israel and about Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to bring the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. This is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord.
The last few weeks we've been looking at some of the overarching themes of the Bible, and we're looking at this passage in Exodus where God promises to redeem his people. We've looked at sin and how sin is not the best thing that God wants for us. It's the furthest thing from the best. He wants so much more for us, but too often we settle for something so much less. We looked last week at God's covenant with Abram and how God made a promise. God said he would fulfill his promise, and it took time. And sometimes we have to wait for God, for God's timing, for God to fulfill the promises he makes. And now we get into Exodus and we see that God is this redeeming God. That we read in verse 6 that he says, "I am the Lord, and I will free you from the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment." He tells his people that he will redeem them. And if, as we continue reading through Exodus, we see that being fulfilled. And we see the promises from Genesis being fulfilled as the people leave Egypt and begin their way into the promised land. The land that God said that to Abram that his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren would possess, would live in as owners, not as those just passing through. As a reminder, being redeemed is an overarching theme within Scripture, but sometimes we use these words, especially in the church, and we assume what they mean, but But sometimes we forget, or sometimes we get confused with something else. But this term for redeem means that there's this transaction where somebody buys back something that was once theirs and wants to have it again. Or it also has this idea that someone pays the price to attain freedom for a third party. This idea of being redeemed has a redeemer. Someone who, some translations call it a kinsman protector or a family champion. And this would be someone who would step in to do something for their family. And they, in the Old Testament especially, they had a much broader idea of what family was. When I think of my own family, I think of my wife Rebecca and I think of my four kids. That's my family. But in the Old Testament, family was not just spouse and children. It was parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It was a much broader understanding of what family was. And so the Redeemer had this responsibility for all of these people, even to distant cousins, distant relatives, to redeem them, to bring them back to where they're whole and complete within the family. If we read the first five books of the Bible, we get several examples of what a redeemer is charged with to be that one in the family who buys back, brings back to wholeness, to completeness, to freedom. We see in one place that if you had a family member murdered, the family champion, the redeemer, would be one who would go out and bring justice on the person who took the life of your family member. There was also this understanding that if a man died without a child to inherit his estate, that the kinsman, the redeemer, had a moral, not a legal, but a moral responsibility to take the dead man's wife into his home to provide an heir so that the inheritance had someone to go to. There was also the idea that if a family member fell on hard times and they had to sell their land, the Redeemer would come in and buy it back. And if a family member fell on really hard times and had to sell themselves and their family into slavery, the Redeemer would come and buy them back to set them free. The actions of the Redeemer were always very involved. It was not an easy thing to go and redeem someone. It was not always it took time, it took energy, it took resources to bring freedom to the family. It took self-sacrifice for the Redeemer to come and bring freedom to those who were needing it. And so we see in Exodus that God is acting in this fashion that the people would understand. They understood this from their society. And so God steps in and says, I'm going to take what you know and I'm going to apply it over here so that you can begin to bridge the gap and see what I'm trying to do for you. I'm going to redeem you not just from slavery to Egypt, but slavery to sin and slavery to death. He saves His people. He chooses them, loves them, and brings them out into freedom so that they would know that He is faithful in all that He does. And God speaks through one person. He speaks through Moses. And Moses tries his best to blame somebody else. Hey, don't pick me. I can't speak well. Don't pick me. I'm an outcast in Egypt. Don't use someone else, not me. But God keeps saying, just go. Just go. Just go. And so Moses goes and the people say, we don't believe you. And I'm sure Moses was like, see, God, this is what I told you. You needed to use someone else. God says, Moses, just keep telling them what I told you to say. Just keep doing what you were told to do. And we see, eventually, the people of God are let go. In fact, Pharaoh drives them out because he doesn't want them anymore. But then he changes his mind. So God had made a covenant with Abram. And Abram, in part of the fulfillment of that covenant, Abram had a child, Isaac. And Isaac had children. The one important to our story is Jacob. And then Jacob had children. The one important to our story, Joseph. And Joseph brings his family to Egypt because out of circumstances beyond his control, he was sold into slavery. He was put in charge of families. He was put in charge of businesses. He was lied about. He was thrown in prison. He was forgotten. Until one day, Pharaoh needed something that no one else could do. And he was remembered. Joseph was lifted up from the jail cell to the palace and put in charge over the entire nation. His family comes, he forgives them and brings them, and the Egyptians are so thankful for what Joseph has done, they allow his family to have some land to live on, to tend to their herds, to make their own. There are a few times in Egyptian history where they want to forget their history. It's when a foreign ruler came in and took over and did things they didn't like because they were ruled by foreign people. It's probable that this is, during Joseph's time, one of these outside pharaohs was in charge. And we read at the beginning of Exodus that there came a point where a new pharaoh came to power and he didn't know what Joseph had done. When the Egyptians regained control, they tried to erase that history. They didn't want anyone to remember it. They didn't want anyone to think about it. So they did everything they could to erase it. And so a pharaoh came to power, knew nothing about Joseph, but knew that there was this people group over here that were being very fruitful, and they were multiplying faster than anyone could count. And as a native Egyptian, having gotten rid of the foreign power, they didn't want a new foreign power growing up in their backyard to take over. And so they put them in slavery. They saw them as less than. They saw them as some thing to get rid of when they were useless, but something to abuse while they were useful. They tried to control them by enslaving them, and eventually things were just out of control. And Pharaoh thought, well, if we just eliminate all the male children, that will get things under control. Not realizing that Yahweh was with his people. The God of Israel was with his people. And one of the women had a son that she put in a basket, or another word for it would be an ark. She put him in this basket, put him in the Nile, and sent him down the way. And who finds this child? The worst person possible, right? The daughter of Pharaoh. Not knowing the story, our first thought should be, oh no, she's going to get rid of the child. But knowing the story, we know she takes the child into her home and she raises him as her own. He lives in the palace as one of Pharaoh's family. One of those who Pharaoh is trying to get rid of is raised as one who is family of Pharaoh. one point in Moses' life, he sees an Egyptian abusing one of the Hebrews. And when the time was suitable, he killed the Egyptian, hid the body in the desert, thinking no one knew anything, but someone did. And Pharaoh got word of what had happened, and Moses went on the run for fear of his life. And he made it to Midian in the wilderness, in the desert, where he became part of a family of Jethro. He married Jethro's daughter. He was a shepherd of Jethro's flocks. And God spoke to him when he was 80 years old. God spoke to him when he was 80 years old. Go back to Egypt. But God, you know what I did. God, they don't want me. They've still got a price on my head. They're not going to listen to me. Go back to Egypt. I've heard the cry of my people, and it's time for them to be redeemed. So Moses goes back. And God is with him and does miraculous things. And we read about it gets to a point where God shows in physical ways that he is God, even of Egypt. Each of the plagues is a way of him showing that he is God over one of the Egyptian gods. And Pharaoh brings in his magicians and his priests, and he tries to get them to do the same things that Moses is doing. And eventually they say, we can't do it. This is the finger of God. And then the last plague, the plague that takes the firstborn of all of Egypt, all of those in the land, all of their cattle. But God says to Moses, have the people sacrifice a lamb and put the lamb's blood around the doorpost and eat the lamb. But eat it in a way that you are prepared to go at a moment's notice. The story of Passover, Moses speaks to God's people and tells them about the blood that will cause the angel of death to pass over them. And it points to the New Testament where the blood of the Lamb covers us and the angel passes over us. Pharaoh let his people go, let God's people go. The Egyptians gave them gold and silver and treasure to get them out of the land because they were tired of what God was doing to them. But as they got out of town, Pharaoh had a change of heart, sent his army afterwards, and one more time, God provides a miracle. He opens the waters and allows his people to cross over to the other side. But when Pharaoh's army enters into the waters, God has them close and destroys the army. So they're on the other side. Pharaoh and what's left of his kingdom is over here. The people are now free. They're beginning their journey to the promised land, but they're living in freedom. But it takes a while for them to truly be free because the slavery that they had been in left its mark on them. They're free, but they still live like slaves. God took the Hebrews out of Egypt, but it takes time for Egypt to get out of them. And it's the same with us. The Hebrews bought into Egypt's stories that they were less than. Bought into their stories that the stories rooted in fear and greed and power and prestige and idolatry. And we can get in the same place where those Hebrews were. And and listen to the wrong stories. Stories that cause us to have fear and push us in one direction. Stories that are all about greed and power and prestige and even about idolatry that leads us into a place that we don't want to be, like a modern day slave. We can allow these stories to control us, to put us in slavery instead of living in the freedom that the Redeemer God has for us. So we need to constantly be reminded of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ. For me, one of the most powerful parts of our worship every week is when we get to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. I almost wish we could meet every day so that we could hear that every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. We need to have that wash over us, to echo within our minds, because there are stories out there being told by the world that says, you've messed up too much. Your life is over. You can't recover from this. But the story of God says, you are forgiven, and you can. The stories the world tells us that our daughters need to dress a certain way and act a certain way for them to be accepted. And once they're accepted, they have to keep acting this way and put up this front instead of living as who God created them to be. Our sons are told to grow up to be men, but too often the way the world tells them to be men is actually having them revert to be children, not knowing how to deal with their impulses and actions and not taking responsibility for the consequences they cause. The stories the world tells us sends us in one way, but the story of God sends us another. The story of God leads us into life, but sometimes we don't understand how good that is. We see these things over here and we think that's what we want, but God says, look at this. This is so much better. Just trust me. Follow me. I'm with you. What stories are we listening to? Are we listening to the stories that we're being told that we're not good enough? That we've messed up too many times? That we're beyond God's redemption? Are we listening to the good news, the story of God that reminds us over and over and over that God finds worth even in me and has provided redemption even for me? And that story connects me to a community of faith. And that community of faith reminds me that just like Abram, who is blessed to be a blessing to others, we have been blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. God told Moses, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my people and I will be your God. He has taken us as his people and he wants to be our God. But will we let him be our God? Or will we keep pushing him away, thinking that the stories of the world are going to fulfill what we want and what we need? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, open our ears and open our eyes to see the world around us the way you see it. Help us to see the empty promises of the stories that we're so often told. The glimmer and the shininess and the newness of stuff all fades in time. But echo within our lives, echo within our minds, your story, your words, that you have redeemed us, that you have bought us away from slavery to sin, to death, to all of the things that lead us away from you. You've redeemed us. Help us to learn to live as those who are redeemed. Help us to live as those who have freedom in you. Help us to live as those you have been blessed. And may we turn our lives towards others to be a blessing to them, to point them back to you. Point them back to the one who wants to redeem them as well. Work in us. Work through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand?